is to be noted. He should lead the life of a religious student until he finishes his education. Dhamma is obedience to the command of the Shastra, a holy writ of the Hindus, to do certain things, such as the performance of sacrifices, which are not generally done because they do not belong to this world, and produce no visible effect, and not to do other things, such as eating meat, which is often done because it belongs to this world and has visible effects. Dhamma should be learnt from the Shrutai, holy writ, and from those conversant with it. Artha is the acquisition of arts, land, gold, cattle, wealth, equipages, and friends. It is, further, the protection of what is acquired and the increase of what is protected. Artha should be learnt from the king's officers and from merchants who may be versed in the ways of commerce. Kama is the enjoyment of appropriate objects by the five senses of hearing, feeling, seeing, tasting, and smelling, assisted by the mind together with the soul. The ingredient in this is a peculiar contact between the organ of sense and its object, and the consciousness of pleasure which arises from the contact is called kama. Kama is to be learnt from the Kama Sutra, aphorisms on love, and from the practice of citizens. When all the three, that is, Dharma, Artha, and Kama, come together, the former is better than the one which follows it. That is, Dhamma is better than Artha, and Artha is better than Kama. But Artha should be always first practiced by the king, for the livelihood of men is to be obtained from it only. Again, Kama, being the occupation of public women, they should prefer it to the other two, and these are exceptions to the general rule. Objection 1. Some learned men say that, as Dharma is connected with things not belonging to this world, it is appropriately treated of in a book, and so also is Artha, because it is practiced only by the application of proper means, and a knowledge of those means can only be obtained by study and from books. But Kama, being a thing which is practiced even by the brute creation, and which is to be found everywhere, does not want any work on the subject. Answer. This is not so. Sexual intercourse, being a thing dependent on man and woman, requires the application of proper means by them, and those means are to be learnt from the Kama Shastra. The non-application of proper means, which we see in the brute creation, is caused by their being unrestrained, and by the females among them only being fit for sexual intercourse at certain seasons and no more, and by their intercourse not being preceded by thought of any kind. Objection 2. The Lokiatikas say, religious ordinances should not be observed, for they bear a future fruit, and, at the same time, it is also doubtful whether they will bear any fruit at all. What foolish person will give away that which is in his own hands into the hands of another? Moreover, it is better to have a pigeon today than a peacock tomorrow, and a copper coin which we have the certainty of obtaining is better than a gold coin, the possession of which is doubtful. Answer. It is not so. First, holy writ which ordains the practice of Dhamma does not admit of a doubt. Second, sacrifices, such as those made for the destruction of enemies or for the fall of rain, are seen to bear fruit. Third, the sun, moon, stars, planets, and other heavenly bodies appear to work intentionally for the good of the world. Fourth, the existence of this world is affected by the observance of the rules respecting the four classes of men and their four stages of life. Fifth, we see that seed is thrown into the ground with the hope of future crops. Vatsyayana is therefore of opinion that the ordinances of religion must be obeyed. Objection 3. Those who believe that destiny is the prime mover of all things say, we should not exert ourselves to acquire wealth, for sometimes it is not acquired, although we strive to get it, while at other times it comes to us of itself without any exertion on our part. Everything is therefore in the power of destiny.